Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the audio conference call of Prumo Participações e Investimentos S.A. financial results for the third quarter of 2021. Thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session, and instructions to participate will be given at that time. If you should require assistance during the call, please press the star key followed by zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Today with us, we have Eugênio Figueiredo, the CEO of Prumo Participações e Investimentos S.A. and CFO of Prumo Logística S.A. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Figueiredo. Please go ahead, sir. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, please hold.
Não?
Excuse me, Eugênio Figueiredo, you can please go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, you can go ahead.
Okay, thank you very much, Priscila. I would like first to thank you all for third quarter earnings call, Ações in investimentos. So I'm going to highlight
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, please hold to the speaker reconnection. Excuse me, Mr. Eugênio Figueiredo. Hello, sir. You may go ahead, please.
Okay. If you have difficulties, but sorry about that. So, first of all, to say thank you. Quarter 2021. I heard it's a bad connection. Sorry, I'll connect into the phone.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, please hold to the speaker reconnection. Thank you. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, please wait to the speaker reconnection. Please hold. The audio conference will restart in a few minutes. Thank you. Excuse me, Mr. Eugenio Figueiredo, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
You may go ahead, please.
Thank you very much. Okay, so guys, sorry again for the technical difficulties. Thank you all for attending for this call. We're already a little bit late, so I'll try to be brief and we can go to Q&A session. That's what I go over for the main highlights for this quarter. So on the third quarter of 2021, Ferroporte handled 6 million tons of iron ore, which represents an increase of 23% in the volume handled if compared to the same period of 2020. If you compare the volume handled with on the third quarter with the amounts handled on the second quarter of 2021, it's pretty much a stable volume with a decrease of approximately 1% only when compared to that same period of 2020. For the third quarter of 2021, Ferroporte was negatively impacted by the appreciation of the BRL against the US dollar, which reduced from an average FX rate from 5.44 Brazilian reais per $1 for the third quarter of 2020 to 5.23 of average for the same period of 2021. That actually decreased the revenues as per the FX movement. This movement was partially offset by the increase in the revenues from the T-oil port access fees and impacted by the increase of the number of the operations itself during the quarter of vessels coming in the oil terminal. During the third quarter of 2021, Ferroporte gross revenues related to the take-or-pay decreased 2.4%, exactly because of the FX movement, as I said, on a total amount of 244.8 million BRL. Revenues from ships accessing the channel to the T-oil terminal and paying port access fees reached almost 8 million BRL, which represents an increase of 16% when compared to the third quarter of 2020. For the third quarter of 2021, EBITDA, the whole EBITDA summed 183 million BRL, an increase of 10% comparing to the same period of 2020. Ferroporte distributed to Prumopar and to Anglo American, both 50% shareholders each, during the third quarter of 2021, 101.2 million BRL as intercompany loans repayments, out of which 96.7 million as principal and 4.5 million as interest. Prumopar received out of that 50.6 million BRL in total, and 50.2 net of taxes. Important to highlight when we take a look to the EBITDA total amount quarter over quarter, when we look to the movement, we were in the level of around 200 million BRL in the second quarter of 2020. And we are on the third quarter of 2020, it was 194, then with a slight decrease on the fourth quarter, and then coming back to something very close to 200 million on the first quarter of 2021. And now on this quarter, as we said, 183 million, mainly representing the FX movement. You can see that on the table that we included on the report, with the average of 5.23 for the third quarter 2021. Talking a little bit about, as we usually do, the impacts of the pandemic outbreak and the coronavirus. So we had never stopped our operations, like we were bringing those news to you throughout the whole period. And now we can see on the back office and on the administrative operations, employees already coming back to the office, and again, without any impact on the operations throughout the whole period. Going through the financial, we're going to touch now some highlights on the consolidated simplified analysis of the income statement, starting with Ferroport first. So the main topics here that I would like to highlight, it's actually the consolidated net revenue for the third quarter of 2021, which represents a decrease approximately of 2% in comparison to the same periods of 2020, mostly due to the appreciation of the BRL against the US dollar. This decrease, as we said before, is partially offset by the increase in the TOIL's activities, and total revenues from iron ore, which means the take or pay, decreased by 2.4%, with a total amount of 244.8 million, as we highlighted in the beginning as well. From the third quarter of 2021, in terms of looking at the cost of services now, we could see a decrease of more than 28%. Compared to the same period of 2020, mostly due to the dredging, the maintenance dredging that we had on the previous year. And of course, we did not have the necessity to comply with maintenance dredging now at this year. So that number that was included in the costs of services in 2020, it's actually explaining most of this change that we can see on the decrease of the OPEX for 2021 when compared to the last year. This decrease was partially offset by some increases like payroll and related charges of roughly 1 million BRL caused by an increment in the headcount, depreciation and amortization of 1.6 million, which increased due to an adjustment in the methodology as an accounting matrix, and some consumables, spare parts of 1.9 million impacted by the increase of energy costs. Overall operating expenses decreased by 19% compared to the third quarter of 2020, primarily due to a higher income on net sales of non-consumed electric energy caused by the increase of the price of the energy sold at the spot market, which is the energy that Ferroport is not actually using for its operation. And that generated an increase of 2 million in other operating income. General and administrative expenses increased by 0.9 million BRL, mainly impacted by an increase in the payroll and related charges on third-party services. When we look to the net financial expenses, those summed up to 4.2 million BRL versus an expense of 16.6 million in the same period of 2020. The decrease was impacted by the reduction of the intercompany loan and by penalty related to the parcellation of taxes of $8.7 million during the third quarter of 2020. And for the third quarter of 2021, income before income taxes amounted almost $165 million, leading to a net income of $100 million versus a net income of $90.2 million for the same period in 2020. As per the cash flow statement, going further now, still on Ferroporte, we had reported cash flow from operating activities of $109.5 million for the third quarter of 2021, which represents a decrease of $36.9 million if compared to the same period of 2020. This decrease was actually driven by higher negative working capital variation, driven primarily by the higher income tax contribution. And it's worth mentioning, like we always say, that variations on the interest and withholding taxes paid on the IC loan are accounted in working capital variation, the cash flow from operations here. On Ferroport's CapEx for the third quarter 2021, that summed up $13.9 million. Main expenditures were related to operational efficiency investments, painting restoration, and all those summed approximately $4.3 million and $1.8 million respectively. And the remaining was associated to stay in business CapEx, which is mainly related to environmental compensation, spare parts, and minor repairs for keeping the operation running. During the third quarter of 2021, Ferroporte amortized $96.7 million of principal from the intercompany loan. By the end of the first 9 months of 2021, $346.5 million of principal from the intercompany loan had been amortized. On the balance sheet, only a couple of things we'd like to mention, still on Ferroports. The consolidated cash and securities on September 30, 2021 were $136.9 million. When we compare that to December 31st, 2020, the increase in the cash position and the decrease in receivables are explained by the fact that the take-or-pay payment for December 31st, 2021 was actually postponed to the very beginning of 2021 and was done on January 2nd, 2021 by Anglo American. That's already expected by the rules of the contract, and that, of course, changed for the next fiscal year. On the company's intercompany debt, as of September 30th, 2021, the total amount was of $207.3 million, out of which $128 million related to Promopar loan. Now going to Promopar figures, we'll first start talking about some highlights on the income statement. For the third quarter of 2021, ended in September 30th, Promopar reported net financial loss of $155.9 million versus a net loss of $67.7 million for the same period of 2020. This increase is explained by the depreciation of the BRL against the U.S. dollar, which were going from June 30th, 2021 to September 30th, 2021, from 5 to 5.44 average, respectively. The net exchange variation on loans was negative in 129 million BRL for the same period. Results of the equity accounted investees increased by 9.3% when compared to the same period of 2020 to a total amount of 50.6 million. Moving now to the cash flow statement, still at Promo Participações, during the third quarter of 2021, Promopar received $47.9 million of principal and 2.3 million of interest net of taxes related to the intercompany loan from Ferroport, a reduction of 28.4% over these receivables. The decrease is explained mainly by the lower expenses during the third quarter in 2020 due to the uncertainty caused by the pandemic. So we're actually holding expenses at that time. So we have more cash available for the repayment of the loan. Rumopar reported 1.2 million of transaction costs related to an invoice, which was actually due in not paid to a market consultant on the issuance of the bond. Still, when we actually realized that that was still open, which was during the third quarter, we had to actually pay that, and that's why we're making this statement for this. The last topic on the Promopar, before we can go to the Q&A session, are some highlights related to the balance sheet of Promopar. A couple of things here. On September 30, 2021, Promopar reported cash and cash equivalents of 165.7 million, which represents an increase of more than 50 million if compared to June 30, 2021. This increase is in the cash during the third quarter. There are also 115.4 million, which is available for distribution to the shareholders after paying all debt due by the end of the year. The escrow account related to the debt service reserve account, which is constituted in US dollars. On September 30, 2021, the escrow account summed up 62.7 million. Which was equivalent to 11.5 million USD. When we compare the amounts at the end of June 2021, Promopar's total debt increased in BRL approximately 167.7 million to 1.59 billion BRL, most impacted by the foreign exchange variation. In US dollars, the total debt sum actually decreased by the amortization being done from 310.7 million to 304.8 million USD of principal. On September 30th, 2021, Promopar still had a negative equity amounting 321.3 million, and that's a result of the accumulated accounting losses, mainly driven by the depreciation of the BRL throughout since the issuance of the bonds, of the notes, so far until the end of this quarter. So those were the main topics that I would like to highlight on this explanation before actually open to a Q&A session. So if you have questions, please, we can go to the session now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch tone phone now. If at any time you would like to remove your question from the questioning queue, please press star two. And our first question comes from Chiu Morris Schroeders.
Hello, and thanks for the presentation. Thanks for taking my questions. The first question relates to the 3Q20 EBITDA of Ferroport, so the EBITDA from a year ago. On page one, you mentioned 166 million. On page two, you mentioned 193.6 million. I'm not sure if I get the explanation right why these two numbers diverge. I think in my own model, I have the 193.
Okay, Theo, thanks for the question. Just to make sure that I got the exact point. So the first number you mentioned, it's where exactly, sorry?
If you look at the first page of your earnings release, the first page that has contents, where you see business specifics of Ferroport. And then you look in the 3Q20 column, and you see a 166. And then you go to the next page, and you see a different figure. You see adjusted EBITDA for 3Q20 of 193.6. And I might have missed the explanation for this divergence.
Okay, it's clear now. Thanks for that. Okay, so we have on the business specifics table that you first mentioned, 166.5 million BRL, the accounting figure itself, let's say, without any adjustments. When we look to the table on the other page, you can see that we have the name here as adjusted EBITDA. And what exactly the adjustment is, the dredging itself, because the dredging is on the accounting books registered as an OPEX, but here on the adjusted, we just make it and we're showing as, let's say, taking that off and considering like if it were CAPEX. And then that same number of 166 with the OPEX on the dredging would turn into the 193.6 million if we just consider the dredging as an OPEX and we consider in this case on the adjusted EBITDA as CAPEX. It's just for in terms of comparison when we look throughout the other years or quarters where we do not have the dredging being implemented or being done to try to look on the same basis and not have any distortions on that.
All right. Okay. But you did not add the dredging to CAPEX for 3Q20?
No. It's official.
Like on your CAPEX statement, it wouldn't be. Okay. Understood.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's on the books as OPEX, just on the address that we put it off.
Got you. Okay. Then you mentioned, and we've seen it in the past, that your results get impacted by FX, obviously. Now, if I look back at the Ferroport projected cash flows that you get from the engineer by the time of the bond issuance, it assumed exchange rates that nowadays look way off. Let's say, for example, for 2020, they assumed 3.8 when it turned out to be 5.16, and for 2021, 3.85. Did you ever update these projections for, let's say, updated exchange rates?
Actually, not. Those are projections, as you said, using the best information we usually use. A market consensus here in Brazil called the Focus Report, which is being distributed by the Brazilian Central Bank, which is an average of more than 50 houses with their expectations for those kind of things looking to the future. But we don't have that update, but it's right. I mean, we're facing FX nowadays, which are let's say higher in terms of more BRLs to buy $1 when compared on the time of the projections that we had in 2019 on the issuance of the bond, which is actually moving into the right way because we have some we have the escalation let's say on US dollars, and then we have the translation of those tariffs in US dollars to BRL using the FX by the time of the payments.
Could you at some point provide an update of this table based on a new focus survey?
I mean, the focus survey, it's actually being released weekly here in Brazil. It's public and it's free. That's already, let's say, at the market for anyone to get that. But in terms of us updating that original model, we don't have that that intention. I mean, that was by the time of the issuance of the bonds, we don't have a regular updates either from FX or other things related to that periodically. So we don't have the intention to do that right now.
All right, okay. But maybe looking at 2022, you could give us a sort of guidance for the main item that we're looking at here, like gross revenues, net revenues, EBITDA, and then cash available for distribution.
Yeah.
Any sort of guidance for next year would be much appreciated.
Yeah, no, I understand. This is something that we usually don't have as well. I mean, providing guidance, it's something that depends on a lot of things, but specifically on the FX. If this is one topic that it's part of the question here, I think the proxy would be using that. That focus report, but in general terms, I mean, this is something that we don't provide on the calls as well.
All right. Okay. Also, nothing that you could directionally provide, like how revenues are shaping up next year compared to this year, EBITDA, CapEx, cash available for distribution.
Yeah, again, sorry, but providing that kind of guidance is something that we don't have it.
Okay, I must change topics perhaps. I was wondering what happens when the loans are repaid. I assume then dividends are going to kick in, and if that happens, how will taxation look like? I guess you have a lot of losses of the past that first would reduce the taxation impact, but could you provide us with some framework of thought here going forward?
Yeah, sure. So the plan was always that, and by the time of the issuance, we made that explicit, that our agreement says that we need to repay on the entirety the IC loans before having any distribution through dividends, and the expectation is to have that amount being totally repaid in 2022. As you can see by the figures, the amounts we have been receiving from Ferroport for this year, and the remaining portion that we still have as an outstanding amount on the IC loan. And right after that, we will start having the distribution of that dividend, which was the plan since the issuance of the bonds, as we said. And today, there's no specific taxes related to the dividend. So anything that would be available, of course, using the metrics on the accounting rules that we have here, will be distributed with using pretty much the same concept that we have as on the amount available for the repayment of the IC loans, still using the rule of the minimum cash within Ferroport, which is, again, it's something that it's available and the same since the issuance of the bonds, and keeping that minimum amount on Ferroport, then everything else we can have as distribution. But again, repeating the point itself, there's no specific regulation here in Brazil for taxes over dividends. So it's something that already went through all the income tax taxation within the company, and right after that, it's being distributed straight to the shareholders without any kind of specific extra taxation.
All right. Okay. And then at a Prumo level, can you? I think you mentioned some shareholder distribution. What do you expect to pay out this year? And if you have an idea for next year as well, that would be great.
You mean in terms of
from Prumo to its own shareholders? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, from Prumo Park.
Mm-hmm.
To Prumo. Okay. Well, we have some amounts there, as we mentioned, that they are, let's say, available to be distributed from Prumo Park up. We will most likely do that now in December, but we just keep these being highlighting because those are, of course, following all the rules that we have on the bond, available to be distributed, but so far we didn't bring that to Prumo, and there was part of the cash management of the whole group here, which was something that at this time was not necessary on the upper level. But again, as soon as we have that and following all the rules and the regulations on the timing, which is doing that by the time available and allowed for the permitted payments, which is that kind of distribution, we would be able to do that by the end of December now.
Okay, and what was the amount again?
It was around 115 million BRL, roughly.
Yeah, okay, that's what I understood. Okay, thank you. Then the last question is if you can please update us on your most important ESG initiatives.
Sorry, and the most important what? Sorry, it breaks a little bit.
ESG initiatives?
Oh, ESG, okay. Yeah, so at the Ferropost level, this is something that it's of course very important and it's growing in terms of attention from shareholders and investors throughout the whole period and that's been intensified in the last couple of years mainly. So a lot of initiatives in terms of monitoring. When we talk specifically about the environment concern, we have our let's say compensations that are being done and needs to be done as compensation for the licensing and the permitting process that we had, and that's replanting some areas. And there was a big if you manage to take a look on the issuance material. It was a big program of replanting degraded areas. So this is a big portion of what we're doing. And in terms of monitoring and keeping the operations itself under a very strict regulation on this, Ferropost monitors many things under the operation, but mainly things related to the iron ore being carried by the wind and providing with that, if that is happening, kind of dust being carried, which is the very fine iron ore. So that's a specific monitoring program in order to do that together with everything related to gas emissions and other minor, let's say, aspects in terms of the operation itself, cleaning and all that. The major aspects would be those. I don't know if I touched the point, but I just conceptually said the main usual programs and activities related to that. But if you have any more questions on details, please feel free.
Yeah, your biggest risk are water management and availability, I guess, and spills. Is that correct?
Yeah. Actually, the water that brings the iron ore through the pipeline, that's still on the Anglo side of the business, let's say. If you recall, I mean, Ferroport itself, yeah, it handles the whole activity. By the time the material leaves the filtration plant, that's exactly when Anglo makes the separation of the iron ore and the water that comes through the pipeline. So, of course, Ferroport cares about and monitors all that, but that portion of the operation of getting that water and making the cleaning process of that and then discharging, this is a piece of the operation that's on the side of the operation that's 100% being cared and owned by Anglo American and not by Ferroport.
Got you. Okay. Okay, yeah, if you in your forthcoming annual report could include updates on everything, that would be much appreciated. You know, the replanting that you mentioned, the monitoring, the dust, gas emissions, whatever crossroad days from Anglo, and any, for example, certification that you obtain. And just one last point, you don't have an MSCI rating, right? And I assume you're not planning to get one, is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And our next question comes from Ruben Vaisgolojel, JP Morgan.
Hi, thanks for the call and for taking my question. Just a quick one. Can you provide any visibility that you have on iron ore volumes from Anglo in the fourth quarter and into 2022? Just trying to understand how you guys are seeing that picture into the new year. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for that, Ruben. What usually happens is that on programming next year's operations, we see from Anglo what's the expected volumes, and the amounts for this year was actually a little bit above what we were actually seeing by the end of this quarter, and what was actually expected for this year. So we had on the expectation on the official one coming from Anglo, and you can see that they actually published that on their website specifically for Minas Rio. The expected amount was between 24 and 25 million tons of iron ore being handled at the port this year. So for next year, what I can tell you is that the exact same expectation and official that they published on their website, which is for next year, range of 2 million, going from 24 to 26 million tons of iron ore. That's the expected amount. We expect to be so officially within that range, but probably going closer to the capacity of the nominal capacity of the terminal, which is 26.6 million tons, if we were at the top of that range that Anglo is providing for the volumes for the next year. So that's the city official guidance that they give, that they provide, and you can see that on their website as well.
Gotcha. That's helpful. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Ruben.
This concludes today's question and answer session. I would like to invite Mr. Eugenio Figueiredo to proceed with his closing statements. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. First, I'd like to apologize for the technical difficulties in the beginning. I am at the office, but we had some problems with the connection here, so Thanks for that. Thanks for attending for this earnings call. We will be together soon on the fourth quarter earnings calls by March next year. Thank you very much again. Bye-bye.
That does conclude Prumo Participações e Investimentos S.A. financial results for the third quarter of 2021 audio conference call for today. Thank you very much for your participation and have a good day. And thank you for using Chorus Call.